Welcome to another episode of JPHMP Direct Talk, a podcast series that brings you conversations that bridge the gap between public health research and practice. Today I'm joined by Dr. Sarah Nash, Director of Cancer Surveillance at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. In this role, she is the PI of the SEER Alaska Native Tumor Registry. She also conducts community-engaged research to understand and address cancer disparities among Alaska Native people. Also joining us is Dr. Diana Redwood, an epidemiologist at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. Her expertise is in public health and epidemiology, with a focus on cancer screening and prevention, including research into novel methods of colorectal cancer screening outreach and new screening methods for the Alaska Native population. Dr. Nash and Dr. Redwood spoke to me today about a new report developing an epidemiologic study to investigate risk factors for colorectal cancer among Alaska Native people. The report appears in a new supplement, Tribal Epidemiology Centers, Advancing Public Health in Indian Country for Over 20 Years, just released from the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice. Thank you both for joining. Welcome to the program. You note in your report that Alaska Native people have among the highest rates of colorectal cancer recorded globally, accounting for the second leading cancer among Alaska Native people, with cancer mortality second only to lung cancer. In both incidence and mortality, colorectal cancer is twofold higher among Alaska Native people than U.S. whites, a disparity that has persisted for over 30 years. What are some of the potential risk factors of colorectal cancer among Alaska Native people?
This study actually represents the beginning of the work that we've been doing to establish a research study just to answer that question. We don't actually have concrete answers for Alaska Native people specifically, so that's what we're trying to find out with our work. We think, at least in part, that risk and protective factors for colorectal cancer among Alaska Native people likely mirror those that we see in other populations. So, for example, smoking, obesity, physical inactivity, certain aspects of our dietary intake, and some genetic factors as well. But what we're really hoping to do is determine whether or not there are things specific to Alaska or Alaska Native people that might also increase or decrease risk for colorectal cancer. So some of the things that we're thinking about are the Alaska Native traditional diet, seasonal patterns of sunlight exposure and sleep, and how things vary with our long summers and our long winters, and also smokeless tobacco use, which is high among Alaska Native people too.
And Dr. Redwood, can you tell us a little about the framework for the study and why you chose this method?
So I'll back up on this just a moment. Both Dr. Nash and I are at the Alaska Native Tribal Epidemiology Center. We're one of 12 tribal epidemiology centers nationwide, and we have a number of core functions that we do, such as data dissemination, technical assistance, disease prevention, but one of them is surveillance and applied epi studies. So this work that we've been doing fits within our larger work at the epi center, where we're trying to provide health data and health studies to the Alaska tribal health system. So one of the things that we do within the tribal health system is try and have projects and research that is specifically beneficial to improving the health of Alaska Native people. That's just an essential core for us. And the reason we chose community-based participatory research as our framework for this study is that it really incorporates a lot of the principles that we try and follow within the Alaska tribal health system, such as self-determination, improving the health of the people. And this framework really incorporates those ideals and then also produces a richer study because you are incorporating the feedback and perspectives of tribal members, community members within the research process. So in some regards, I would say it was a no-brainer that we would use this framework because it so well incorporates the things we are trying to do within our healthcare system.
And Dr. Nash, can you tell us a little bit about some of the partners who worked with you on this study?
Absolutely. So research is never conducted alone. So in addition to Diana and I, we have a really great group of partners, including our support from the Alaska Native Epidemiology Center that have supported this research. So the work was funded by the American Indian Alaska Native Clinical Translational Research Program. And this is a collaboration between Alaska and Montana to expand community-based and community-engaged research and research infrastructure among American Indian and Alaska Native communities in Alaska and Montana. So we had a lot of support from that group. I should also mention Dr. Ricky Peters and her lab at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. Ricky and Dr. Peters and her team have really been core collaborators in this work from the very beginning. They bring a lot of experience and a lot of expertise in the exploration of lifestyle and genetic risk factors for cancer. So we've really enjoyed working with Dr. Peters and her lab. And then, of course, we have a lot of partners around the Tribal Health Campus here in Anchorage. We have partners from South Central Foundation, which is a tribal healthcare corporation that manages healthcare for South Central Alaska, from researchers here within the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. And I also should not neglect to mention the clinical staff at the Alaska Native Medical Center, who really were critical in helping us with this work.
And Dr. Redwood, what were some of the key themes to arise from informant conversations and literature review?
As I mentioned before, we were trying to do this work within a community-based participatory research framework, partly because the study is trying to identify risk and protective factors for colorectal cancer among Alaska Native people. And one of the things we are interested in exploring is whether there are any unique genetic other types of risk factors. And so there's been a concern previously about biospecimen collection, genetic research conducted with Native American communities. So we were trying to do this process to really collect as much information as we could from a number of partners around the tribal health system. So it was important to us that we included Alaska Native perspectives whenever possible. Many of the individuals whom we interviewed actually identified as Alaska Native community members, in addition to also having a professional role within the tribal health system. So there were a number of key themes that arose from these conversations and from literature review, some of which your readers might already think of as important, but it was a learning experience to put it all together. Really, the key things that rose from all of this work was basically seven themes. There was the translational nature of research, obtaining feedback from study participants, importance of the informed consent process, not forgetting the study impact on the clinical workflow, appropriate use of biospecimens, tribal ownership of data, and lastly, and in some ways most importantly, sharing study results back with the community. So in terms of the translational nature of research, again, I have said previously, but it's really important that researchers demonstrate how the study will improve the health of the tribal people that you are serving through your research and your work. And so that was something that really rose to the top. And our goal with our study is that we are trying to identify risk and protective factors for colorectal cancer. So we want that to be the basis of prevention programs or risk stratification models. We want the research itself not to sit in a silo, but to actually then get put into practice within our health system. The second theme was more looking at community and participant feedback. One of the things that our informants really told us was that it's important that you request feedback from study participants and then you incorporate that into your study design in a continuous manner. So that was something that we then altered our protocol and added in opportunities for participants to provide feedback both within the study visit and also to provide their contact information so that we could follow up with them later, perhaps through focus groups or other methods to get more information. Another piece of that is engaging a community advisory board. This can be very helpful and important with tribal communities and tribal research, is to have a community advisory board that can provide input into your study design, results, interpretation. The third theme was the informed consent process. And again, this is something that most researchers know very well, but it was brought home to us very much in our conversations with tribal staff, is that within the study, especially a study that involves genetic or biospecimen collection, it needs to be very clear in the consent process what participants in the study are consenting to. Obviously, participation is voluntary and some of those standard things, but also how this will affect tribal communities and how long will this data be kept, what will it be used for, who will have access to it. Those are very important things that need to be specified within your consent. The fourth theme was one that was sort of interesting, that studies don't always think about how their work will impact the clinical workflow. So I've definitely talked to other researchers that say, I'm going to have this study, you know, the person's going to draw the blood for us, and then they'll give it to us, and we'll do this, that, and the other. And you ask them, well, how are those staff going to actually do that work on top of their existing clinical duties, the healthcare they're providing to their people? So I think that's one of the important things about this, is really thinking about how a study fits within the clinical practice if you're doing a study within the clinical setting. And so trying to get more buy-in from clinical staff and making the study flow as easily as possible within their important existing work. The fifth theme was the appropriate use of biospecimens. So as I said, the informed consent process is critical to make sure that participants agree and understand the study specimen collection, storage, and use procedures. So we had found out that there might be concern about how that sort of biospecimen analysis or data would be used or could be used. And so it was very important that we be clear and make sure that we laid that out in our protocol, consent form, et cetera. So in response to these concerns, our protocol included a strict policy of only examining genetic risk factors that were relevant specifically to colorectal cancer. The sixth theme was tribal ownership of data, particularly genetic data, and that was a very preeminent theme in our formative conversations. And it's important, you know, recognizing tribal ownership of data. It respects tribal sovereignty, and it's key in ensuring that tribal voices are heard throughout the process. So for all of our data, any results that we create, our manuscripts, all of that has to be approved by our set up tribal committees and review process. And I think that's an important piece of making sure that the information is kept respectfully within our system. The last theme was incorporating plans for sharing study results within and with the Alaska Native community and making sure that is in your study design. So again, a lot of this paper was trying to share with other researchers key themes that we found when we were doing this work that we think might be helpful for others. And so returning the research findings to study participants, it is a central tenet of community-based participatory research, and it's something that we really return to again and again of how we can share the information that we get from the study back with people who participated and with tribal leadership.
Dr. Nash, were there any surprising findings from the study?
I don't know what Dr. Redwood thinks, but I don't think I was surprised by any of the findings necessarily, but I would say that I was really heartened that these conversations reaffirmed some of the knowledge, like anecdotally, that I've gained from working within the tribal health system over the past decade or so, as well as some of the previous research that has been conducted by folks here at ANTHC, over at South Central Foundation, and others working within the tribal health system. So I don't, you know, Diana, Dr. Redwood has talked about some of the foundations of the research that we conducted in the Alaska Tribal Health System. And I wouldn't say that any of these findings were surprising. They were just, to me, reaffirming some of these principles that we already try and adhere to and try to, you know, apply within our research.
And Dr. Redwood, what are some of the limitations of the study?
I'd say the major limitation of the study is that these were formative conversations. So we conducted these sort of as a snowball technique where we'd ask one person that we talked to, are there any other folks that we should talk to about this area that we could gain more information? And we continued until we didn't have any more people that they said that they thought we could talk to. But in truth, we could have expanded, you know, beyond the scope of just this area and talking to others within the tribal health system and other communities. So there are ways in which this could have been a larger project. But I think what we were trying to do with this really was to just build the framework of what things should we be thinking about as we put our study together. This really was part of the formative part of our work, very much looking at how can we improve our study protocol so that once we build this larger study looking at risk and protective factors for colorectal cancer, what things, what elements do we need to have in the study so that it can be the best study it can be within the tribal community in which we work.
And Dr. Nash, what are the implications of the study's findings?
To me, I think there are several implications, particularly for public health and research practice. I think that this formative work definitely kind of brought home to me the importance of community engagement, especially when working with tribal communities. And then a lot of these other implications, I think, really came out of those themes that Dr. Redwood discussed. So the need for research within our communities to be translational. What is the impact that we're going to see of the research? Obtaining ongoing study participant community feedback throughout the study process. The importance of really thinking through as a researcher your informed consent process. I think that's really key, and it's something that maybe we tend to take a little bit for granted, and we really need to be making sure that our participants are understanding what they're signing up for and know what they're going to be involved in. And then also making sure that they really understand and that we're really communicating well the biospecimen and genetic analysis piece, especially because that genetic component was planned to be as a part of the study. Thinking about things in advance that aren't maybe necessarily several years down the road, like data ownership and who owns the data and tribal ownership of data, particularly genetic data, I think really has to be addressed early on in the research process. Also, as Dr. Redwood was saying, thinking early on and planning into your study design and into your study budget, things like the data dissemination and results dissemination, I think is really important. And then for me, one of the really key things was the clinical practice and the importance of clinical practice and not making sure that our research is not interfering with clinical practice, because ultimately what we want to be doing is improving the lives of Alaska Native people, and we want to be ensuring that we can continue as an institution to deliver the highest quality healthcare possible alongside our research endeavors. And then to me, one of the other things that I've also been thinking a lot about is how this process is really iterative. So this is really just the first step in our community engagement process. We had these formative conversations, but we continue to engage in community engagement activities. We have a community advisory board. We have a physician advisory board. We have been back to our study pilot study participants and engaged in qualitative research. So this process of community engagement really is iterative, and as we learn more every single time, it can involve a lot of return to the IRB, but I think it really is worthwhile to be continually taking on this community feedback to improve the study.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, either of you?
I think I would just add that although our research study was specifically looking at risk and protective factors for colorectal cancer, the themes that we found through doing this formative research were things that I think all researchers might benefit from when they are working with tribal communities, things about respect, returning information back to people. So I guess I would have the suggestion to other researchers that they think about this and as a real framework for working with Indigenous people.
Well, thanks again. I really appreciate your time, and congratulations on your article and on the supplement.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you.
This feature has been brought to you by JPH MP Direct, the companion site of the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice. To learn more about the research presented in this talk Visit us online at journals.lww.com/JPHMP.